I strongly believe in mental health and mental health conditions. I'm not a person basically to give up that soon for anything, like anything, even if it's a conversation. It's one thing that you can't pay a price for is time.
Hi everybody, welcome to Reach Her Podcast. We hear you, and this is a platform for all the budding women out there from all walks of life. So this is Madhumati here along with you, hosting a very beautiful guest. We already know her from most of her famous movies like Salai, Kutali, and most importantly, the Goli Sodar group. So let's welcome our Trisha Kuru. Hello, Trisha. How are you?
Yeah. Yes, I can hear you.
Yeah. How are you doing, Trisha?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thank you. So, Trisha, how have you been? I mean, how are your days moving? You're at home, and how is it everything throughout the lockdown?
It's been nice. Mm-hmm. It's been an experience, and it's been good to be. And I think we should also. It's our social responsibility to be at home. And if we, as influencers, as people with a responsibility, do not do so, then how can we expect others to do it?
Exactly.
So I hope I make an initiative, like I make a statement by staying at home. And so do the people do the same.
That is really important, because when you get famous to some extent, you know, people start looking at you, people start noticing, and unknowingly you become an influencer. Like, even though you influence, actually, even the smallest things influence people. So tell us, Trisha, how have you been since a child? I mean, were you into movies and all these things since a child itself?
No, nothing doing. I watch movies like anybody else. It was supposed to be a vacation thing. Go with your family, watch movies in the theater and television and all that. I still see actors, in fact, still when I see an actor for the first time, and I've been seeing them since childhood, I still get like those goosebumps like anybody else. I don't think I've fitted much into the mold of being an actor yet.
I've got back-to-back movies, and then you especially this Goli Soda movie, you reached to another level, and you know it. I've seen in your post also saying you were... You identify yourself as that, as a character in Goli Soda, right? So how does it feel from the beginning, like how you were as a person looking at the movies, looking at the stars, and today somebody recognizing you as a star, how does the difference feel to you?
I will be wrong if I, like, it will be a lie if I say that I don't like it. I obviously do like it. I think we all like to be recognized in whatever field. It's not only acting. It's like, even if you're a doctor, you want to be the well-known doctor in the hospital. If you're a, you know, if you're staying in a society, you want everybody to know you in the society. For whatever, for whatever reasons, you know, like, it doesn't matter 5 or 50 people. It just matters to be known, to be there. So, yes, by default, I have liked it. And I was on stage since childhood, being a Bharatanatyam dancer. It was always like you were a performer.
Yeah.
And it just, the medium of performance changed. It changed from stage to, it changed to camera. And it all happened through Bharatanatyam. And I'm like, I don't think I will leave that ever in my life. So... It just happened. Like, it was not like I want to be an actor. I'm going to do this in my life. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to groom myself to be an actor, or nothing of that sort. I wanted to become a clinical psychologist. I wanted to do psychology. I wanted to pursue that. But I don't know. Life has different... We don't choose our life. I think I started believing in destiny a lot more. I started believing in, you know, it just happens. Everything happens for a reason. So, I don't know. It happened. But yes, once I got into the industry, once I did my first movie, sincerity towards the profession came. It was like, I just don't want to do it for the sake of it. It's not... just about doing a movie. It's about doing the right kind of movie. It's about doing being passionate about it. It's about like you're the face of a whole group of hard work. There's a whole director, there's a whole lightman's team, there's whole technicians out there, and all their work is finally balanced on your shoulder. Like what you do in the end is the showcase of their talent too. So you know, it is not that easy. Movies aren't easy. Movies are very difficult to do, and when you have 300 people constantly looking at you and having expectations out of you, it's a little extra stress and pressure also for all.
How do you handle that stress? I mean, to me, especially if one person, exactly, I mean, when I'm writing an exam, if the teacher comes and looks at the paper, I won't be able to write. I'll freeze. But how does it happen to you?
No, it is very stressful. To be honest, I am stressed from the action to the cut. I'm not stressed between action and cut, but right before the action and right after the cut, I'm equally like stressed. I look at the director's face. I look at the co-artist's face. Like, have I done something wrong? Did I like fumble the dialogues? Did I give the wrong expression? Yeah. So unless, till the time the action is said, I'm like constantly, chanting something or thinking that, oh my God, I'm like recollecting my, after this dialogue, like, you know, doing all my mental sums and all of that thing. And when you say action, it's like you need to freeze and you need to get into the character and you need to, and then the cut comes. After the cut, it's again, I'm again that same person, you know, that anxiety is there. Oh my God, is anybody seeing? What did I do? Did I do wrong? Was my expression right? You know, so all of this does, I think every work of yours, every work we do have, but just the thing is, here you don't have like one day you can be in the background. It's every day you're like, you're on the spotlight, you know. There is no like, today if I don't do fine, it will be fine. It is not a day like that. It's like every day I have to be my best. I need to do my best.
You don't so, have to sit back and no time to relax.
Yeah, it's not like today I'll be lazy. Like when you do a normal, not only normal work, even when I go to dance class, you know, some days I think that today I'm not interested to do Krishna ni begine baro. Krishna is not going to come if I'm going to call also. Then I request my teacher, today I don't want. But you don't have that. Like today, if it's an emotional scene in the shooting set, you cannot go there and say that, Inniki, I'm not interested to do an emotional scene. I feel very happy, so I'm going to do only happy scenes today. So all that doesn't happen. So there's a lot of stress, there's a lot of anxiety that goes around in the set alone. But I think that all vibes together and it just sings. That's why the team is equally important.
And because it's just a moment, you know, you just, in a fraction of a second, you're into that character, and the next moment, you're yourself. So between that action, yes. I totally get it. Because even when you're doing sports in school and colleges and all, the whistle comes, you'll have to run. Till then, you're.
Yes.
It exactly feels right with that. That way, right? So, as we were talking, I just noticed that you're getting this Tamil in between, right? I mean,
yes.
You are a Malayali who was brought up in Mumbai. And then, did you know Tamil when you came to Chennai? I mean, when you...
Nothing. Nothing. I was blind.
Tamil.
The reason why Tamil is coming now, to be honest, I have been conversing I've been doing interviews in Tamil recently. So, I think it comes, and basically all my interviews have been in Tamil. Like, I've never got an opportunity to give an interview in English or any other language, given the fact that I'm working in Tamil industry. So this is the first time I'm having a conversation in English, to be honest, for an interview. So it is like that it comes in your, like, you know, it's not consciously done, it just happens.
Yeah.
And how I learned Tamil, I didn't know anything. Like the first day of shoot, I was blank. I'm like, what? What are you saying? Like it was completely a new language. And if you hear the locals speak, they speak very fast. Yeah. You know, they
for any new language, that's a problem.
Yeah, like if they spoke slow, probably I would, understand. But one thing is good, we South Indians have body language.
Yeah.
So with your body language, you understand what they are trying to converse. So, like, if you ask them the direction, they will not just say, just go and take a left. They will not say, go and take a left. They'll say, go and take a left. You know, they'll do the entire action and all that.
I know.
So, because of which you come to know what they're talking, but then obviously you don't have a hold on the language. And the very first day, I had got this scene from Alagu Kutti Chellam, my movie, and they gave me the dialogue where I'm like fighting with my appa, like with my father there, and I cannot even have this pause and tell the dialogue. I have to say it like I'm blurting it out in anger and in frustration. And they gave me the dialogue. I wrote it down in Hindi. I wrote it down in English. I wrote it on all languages I could probably understand. And my dad was there. And my dad's like, hey, are you sure you're going to do this? I said, let's try. Like, we know it's not going to, like, if it's not, it's no is the definite answer. Maybe we can try making it a yes.
Yeah.
Or else we just pack our bags and we leave. We apologize for all the things and we just leave from here. Like, it's not like I have a legacy to maintain or anything of that sort. So we'll just walk out of the space. Like, okay, let's give it a try. I knew I have a good grasping power, but that day I realized I just mugged it up literally. I asked them where to stress the words and where not to, and remaining I just let it go, and it happened. So I was like, okay, this can happen, it's not that bad.
So that ended up being a motivation to you, like that motivates a lot, right? When we are doubtful and it works out so well.
Oh, trust me, that feeling is amazing, you know. You genuinely feel top of the world, you know. You feel happy that you don't have to compromise on things, like as in the fact that your capabilities, you can do it. The time you realize that you can do it, you're like, oh, now I don't have to compromise on my fact that I like acting but I can't act. I can be an actor because I can pass. So, you know, you feel good that your dreams are not compromised. You can work on it.
And you're giving it a nice quality. You don't have to make any other changes.
Yeah, it's not like I have to leave acting because I couldn't speak Tamil or because I couldn't grasp Tamil. Like, I have to leave this field or I have to not do movies anymore. So, I was merely proud of me. And that time, like, I was a teenager. So, I had all the excitement of a teenager. And after that, now Tamil is on, I'm learning Telugu. So, so I think language never became a barrier thereafter.
Language should never become a barrier to anybody, because that is a medium of communication, and in acting, it is all talent, right? So that's
I believe, like, there was one actor who told me, like, crying is crying. You cry in Telugu, you cry in Tamil, you cry in Hindi. Exactly. Crying is going to be crying. So you don't have to bother about that. All you need to bother, like, until you're dubbing, is your lip sync. So I don't think it should be a big deal. So I was like, okay, when great actors are saying that, I think I should just take advice.
So do you do your dubbing now? I mean, in Tamil and all?
Not yet. I haven't got the opportunity.
Okay.
I hope my upcoming movie director will let me. Clap. I hope Clap does give me an opportunity to do the same.
Okay, so what are the upcoming projects that you're working on? When can we get to see you on the screen next time?
Actually, Angelina was supposed to release by Sasindran sir.
Okay.
The movie in which my character name is Angelina. That was due to release this year in March, but given the lockdown. And I don't know, like, the destiny of the movie as of now.
Okay.
And I just wrapped up with Clap. It's a bilingual Tamil Telugu movie.
Okay.
And we have still around a 5-day portion left. So let's see. Hopefully soon. My fingers are crossed too.
We hope for the same too. Throughout, even during this lockdown, is the project in process or how is it going? I mean, the next projects.
Yeah, the editing, the post-production works are on.
Oh.
Like, where social distancing is easy to maintain, where, you know, it's not all about crowding or any public place or any such. So all that is going on. The sound mixing, all of those things continue to happen. But other than that, the main portion, I think, the most difficult portion during a shoot is the production. The main shooting portions, like the pre-production and the post-production, is something that can be done internally.
Yeah.
But here, there's a lot of external people that is required. There's a lot of unit and force that is that goes into the entire process.
You have to be physically present and things have
yes. to be. Yes, and it's not only if the actor and the director is enough. You need the lights, you need the production, you need the food, you need the costumes, you need the hair, you need, like, you know, there's an entire
team
collaboration of a lot of people. Yeah, there's a teamwork. Or else it is very simple. Like in post-production, it gets a bit more easier. It's the director and the editor who sits on the table and, you know, does the work. Or it's the music director and the director that takes place. Or either way, you know, the combination is like very few people are required. And I have no job in that as such until it comes to dubbing. So, yeah.
So it's actually nice that people are able to, you know, go with the process even in this situation. We see even these short films and all these things are getting shot even at distance. Like just with one camera, that person shoots and editing gets done. So that's a positive thing to look at during this lockdown. So if you said that you were not very much into movies, I mean, you were just a viewer then and now you're a person doing it. So if not acting, what else would you have chosen? What would you have picked
up? Like I said, I really wanted to do clinical psychology. I strongly believe in mental health and mental health conditions. So I have an inclination towards this since a child. And I in fact had an inclination towards criminal psychology. I enjoy that aspect a lot. So I think it's very intriguing to try to read mental theses or whatever said so. A mind makes a person, to my belief. So I really wanted to get into that. And I'm a South Indian, so in Mumbai, being like, it's like a Indian being in the US, nah? They know all the culture more than we know. They follow more Indian exactly. rules, and they're more Indianized. Yeah, they're more patriotic than we actually sitting here are. So like that, I'm this Malayali migrated from Kerala. So it's like four generations though. But still my grandmother and my father and all, like, no, our child should be as Malayali as possible. She shouldn't get she shouldn't become a Mumbai girl. So I was put into Bharatnatyam and Carnatic singing and Hindustani vocal and all these kind of traditional art forms of ours. Na?
Yeah.
We are doing the Onam, Vishu, being in the Malayali Samaj and, you know, being as Malayali as possible.
As possible, yeah.
So that was supposed to happen parallelly. Do Bharatanatyam was something that I was been doing continuously. So that was supposed to go on. And education, like, my dad's been an engineer, my mom's an accountant. Like, you know, we are all from the educational field. So it was never an idea to do anything, not acting for sure. Like anything, but not acting for sure.
Then how did you land into this?
It was through Bharatanatyam. I was dancing for Rotary Club out here in Bombay, and one of the directors, he was aspiring to make a movie. He was aspiring to make a short music album, and he approached, seeing my performance, he's like, "Can you do this small music album?" And we agreed for that because it was right here, and, you know, it would have got done and all. And we finished that. Then he went on to make a movie, which didn't do well. It was a very big flop. It did pathetic. And it was like, oh my God, what is this happening? And it was technically quite disturbing, that movie. Then we were like, okay, fine, that's it. Let's wrap this. Let's get back to education. This is all gone. It's gone down the drain. And my father was really happy because I was the one who insisted I wanted to do the movie. Yeah. I was in 12th grade back then, and, you know, you obviously want to do, oh my God, movie, everybody's doing, what is this? So I had literally like fought with my father, cried with him, and my grandparents are a big support to me.
Yeah.
So I told them, I took them in my gang, and I was like, please, don't let's go and all. So when this movie entirely bombed, the happiest person on the planet was my father. Like, you see, I told you it was never going to work. You know, the typical daddy talk.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's not going to happen and all that. And then, but it still happened. Somebody picked up my pictures of that and took it to Tamil Nadu. And the way I was promoted there was, oh, she's a very pathetic actor. And she charges abundantly for her movies. And she lives in Bombay. She is very cranky and all that. But those people, like the team of Aloka Kuti Chalam, wanted a girl next door image. And they actually wanted me to be casted in that. They really liked the pictures. So they were like, can you talk to her? But that guy was busy promoting some other girl.
Okay.
So they contacted me via Facebook and like, are you the same person? Are you willing to act? We bought this entire thing and all that. Then we had a Skype call and then the same pleading and thing with the dad thing happened again. I mean, I think it was easier to convince the industry that I want to act than my father. But then certain things are specific that you're not going to take this as a joke. You're going to be like punctual. You're going to be a hard worker. You're not going to, have fun on others' money. It's not a joke. It's a lot of people's hard work and it's a business after all.
Yeah.
So you need to keep all that in mind. And if then is what you're going to do, then I shall accompany you. I'm not coming down. So me and my dad travel together. We shoot and we come back.
So, however, dad, even though he was not very happy with your decision, he was always there to support you, right?
Even actually speaking, the conversations weren't very hard. It was just like, daddy, please. And it was like, achha, theek hai, we'll do it. Like that kind of a conversation. It was not very difficult.
Yeah, yeah.
But then I think that was the first time I had to convince my father for something. I was never a rebel kid. I'm a very good girl that way. I like my parents tell me, come home at 7:30, I'll be at 7:25 at home. So I have never not a very problematic child as such. So my parents never asked them anything. So I think this is one of those few things that I asked. Like I just want to give it a try. Like given the fact that it's coming to us. Like
yeah.
I mean, how many people out there are literally willing for an opportunity?
Okay.
I hope they do get someday, but they do not. Like it takes time. And if there is a reason of an opportunity to come knocking to your door, we should accept it and we should just at least give it a try. Like give our whole heart to it, give an effort. If it still doesn't work, okay, fine. That's not meant for us. We take another path. But I don't think you should give up without even trying.
Fine.
Like
yeah, that matters.
I don't want to be 50 and regretting.
So true. Now, you said that you wanted to be this clinical psychology, you have to do that. And then you entered into movies. Yeah, you took that opportunity. So, would you again go back to it if you have a choice?
Trust me, this lockdown, I've been constantly thinking, should I do it in correspondence? Should I get my degree in it? I have been thinking so badly about it. Don't even ask. Like, not for the work purpose, just to fulfill, the fact that I did what I wanted to do too. Like, it's not that I didn't want to do this. I totally want to do this. But then I do wish sometimes, so I binge watch.
Yeah.
Pardon?
We all have multiple interests, right? So.
Yes. So I try to compensate by binge watching documentaries and murder mysteries and all of these things on Netflix. I'm like constantly.
So most of the time we need to compensate it with something, or else that keeps boiling inside, right? We need to quench it somehow.
Yes, like I'm reading Sidney Sheldon, like I want to detect what is happening, who is the criminal even before the person is actually getting done. I'm all into reading such material and watching such material. So that I think that's the way I've been compensating. Even when my friends talk, I try to, analyze them. I try to, do all this nonsense.
You have to practice, right?
Yes.
Who knows, even
so
if
I do all this nonsense.
Yeah,
I have friends who are into clinical psychology, so I listen to their stories, I listen to their interactions,
That will provocate you even more to do this psychology thing, right?
It's very tempting, It's like a Dutch truffle in front of you, but you can't eat.
That is so true. Because it happens when you have easily influenceable people, you do get influenced without your own knowledge. Psychology and who knows, it might be useful even in acting sometime. You might even write a story about it and do both at a time, right? So, throughout this journey, from the beginning as a dancer and into to where you are now, what was the most difficult part that you felt? It was like, no, I can't do this. Were there any moments in that?
I'm not a person basically to give up that soon for anything, like anything, even if it's a conversation or anything. I don't give up so soon. So I wouldn't say I felt I did anything that I cannot do this or like that kind of thing was not in my brain, because I liked it. When you have a passion for something, now you just don't want to settle to I don't know or I can't. It's like when you go out with your friends and it's for like a peer pressure, na? Like when your friends are doing it, and if you suddenly tell I can't do it, then they're like, you can't do it, what is this, you can't do it, all that kind of thing comes up, right? So you do it anyway, you put you jump into the fire and you see if you get burned or not. So I think I do the same thing. Like if any situation is put, I'm like, I will never say I can't do this or I don't know. I will do it anyway. Like let's see what it ends to. So under certain principles I have, but if it doesn't differ from my principles, then I don't mind.
So what, there must have some moments, like at least, okay, you didn't want to give up, but somewhere you would have put in a lot of effort. You would have felt, okay, this is a challenge, but that's okay, I'm going to take it and do it. So what were those challenges that you faced?
One was, like, one of the main thing was learning Tamil in the industry, I was like, I'm not going to give up on this language. I spoke, I don't know, I made my own language eventually. That was how it all initiated. I used to call a male a female. I used to call an older person a younger person. Respect, disrespect, grammar, everything was like, it went in the air, you know? Like, I was making my own. I'm like, I'm not giving up still. People can correct me.
Yeah,
like, let people correct me. Let people scream at me. Let people shout at me. But I'm not going to stop talking this language. So that's how that was the very first thing I faced. Then, in the recent years, with Clap movie, I play an athlete in that. So it was a very big challenge to even be an athlete on screen. The entire process. I was staying in Chennai. I did a 2-month training. I lost 12 kilos for the movie, and doing proper athletic training. The person who trained me, Melvin, he is an athlete himself, and his dad is too, and his dad is an athletic coach for the state.
Okay.
So, getting there, doing their drills, doing those things, and he was training me with real athletes, like who were actually into the state and juniors and all of that. So, training with them, it was crazy. There were times like I want to kill myself for saying yes to this thing, I mean, I can't do this no more. I can't run an inch anymore. But then that's when you're like, let's do this. Let's go ahead with it. So that was one challenge I faced. And every movie that I have done has been a challenge of itself. I never knew how to put a lens before Goli Soda 2. So learning daily, getting up in the morning and putting that lens, and half of the time I used to end up with a red eye, like constantly removing, putting, gone here, gone there, gone. That constant fight with the lens. And I don't have glasses, or I'm not used to putting lens. So that entire process of it was something new. So this, and like every movie had come with its own challenges, but nothing was I can't do it kind of a thing. Or maybe it was, and maybe I didn't give heed to it. I didn't pay attention.
Put more effort to it.
Yeah, I was like, whatever. If there's a reason why I'm here, there are a bunch of people who trust me and my abilities.
Yeah.
And most of all, I do. Yeah, you can't just shatter them.
Each project.
Or else you should analyze it prior, and you should tell that this is not my cup of tea.
Once you give it, you don't have to do it, right?
Yes.
So each movie, each project that you did has a lot of homeworks to do, right? You need to train for it, and you'll have to be mentally and physically prepared for all this. So all this preparation and homework, does it give you time to do things for yourself? Like doing some, finding a new hobby or doing something that you like and all this. Does it give time for it?
To be honest, when you're shooting, no, it doesn't happen. And like from morning 6 we go to shoot till evening 6 we are shooting. And when I'm back home, I'm already with the script. Like, given the fact that for me language is a barrier, I take my dialogues for the next day on a prior day. So I'm already with the bunch of sheets that we are going to shoot for tomorrow. So before I go back tomorrow, I need to be prepared with this and get 8 hours of sleep and eat proper food and, you know, do the entire thing. So during the shooting process, no. But other than that, also, like, if you're not constant, being an artist, like, I get into Bharatanatyam. The time I try to make up in my Bharatanatyam when I come back to Bombay, my teacher will like, it's like, you're not doing it for 3 months. You're not doing it. What is wrong with you? Why? Where is Bharatanatyam going? Yeah, you like. I remember when we were shooting for CLAP last year, we had a temple festival in Kerala. And I remember coming from CLAP tonight. Like, for example, tonight I come. Tomorrow morning I'm flying to Kerala for the Bharatanatyam and I've not practiced anything. And I'm like, teacher's like, what are you planning to do? Like, what? You better not, man. My teacher is not a person who sugarcoats things. You're like, why are you here? Go home. Kind of a thing. But then we have already committed for that project and, you know, you cannot say no. Then you go there and when your fellow dancer is like, she's all ready and she's like in the groove and she knows exactly what to do. And you're like, oh my God, I need to start from scratch. So if she gets up at 6, you get up at 4 to compensate.
Yeah.
And then you perform. And we were on a journey. Like we had 3 performances back to back on one day gap. So, you know, in that one day when everybody's resting and, you know, healing their body, you on the contrary are pushing it a bit more. So we don't, like, I don't get time. I don't have time to pursue something new, but I always try to as much as I can. You know, maybe somewhere I try to do something, but it doesn't happen. Now I'm getting, now I got 3 months. I think God,
this last 3 months, right?
Yes. But then, you know, the surprising fact, within 1 month, I was done with all the talents I knew. Exploring is a different thing altogether. But to what I was like, all these years since childhood till now, my talents get over in a month. Like, that's all the talent that I know. Like, 30 days, you put me in a house and I'm done. I have no more talents left.
So did you find out any?
So now, yeah, now the reinventing.
That is nice.
I came to know that I can stitch.
Sketch.
I realized, no, stitch. I can stitch clothes. Oh, like, right. I stitched an entire dress for myself.
Oh, that's nice.
Like, I hand stitched an entire dress for myself.
That is a pride that you can carry, you know, throughout this lockdown. I've done something great. I mean, I'm
finding something new. I'm so scared the stitches will come off somewhere on the road.
But then, and then you can
just the fact that I knew to stitch was a big deal. I learned crochet. I learned these, you know, grandmother's skills. I learned knitting and all that. Probably when I have a kid, I'll knit a sweater for him or her or so, or whatever for so.
Yeah,
but then yeah, I'm trying to do gardening, but I'm short of pots and mud currently.
We are at the stage where we are short of mud on earth.
No, the point is, I need to go and buy it somewhere. You cannot go. The shop is not open. If I go down and try to take it from my society will give me the look like, what's going on here?
I know. So, they're
going to
be
I'm learning these DIYs on Facebook and Instagram where they're showing you put some seeds on tissue paper and spray water and something grows and all. I'm like, what is this?
Yeah, what really?
I don't know. I'm just trying. Okay, the seeds are still the seeds. There, nothing has happened to them. Yeah. A simple tulsi plant is also not growing currently with me.
Okay. You need a lot of practice even for gardening, I'm telling you.
I know. So these are things, and I'm bad at doing makeup. So currently I'm trying to do makeup. I'm still bad at it. Like, yesterday was the first day I tried doing a proper, you know, like a contouring and all that, and I didn't like it. So I'm trying to do that. So these are the things that I'm experimenting with.
You finished everything within a month, but there are so many things else you're doing. That's nice, actually nice. So, given all these explorations and your career, your hobbies and all these things, considering all of them, what is that aim, like short term or long term? We all have, right? At this point of time, if you ask me, I will want something in my mind, I'll have something. So what are that kind of aims or something, desires or wishes you have now, at this time?
See, my dad used to tell, if you're putting a tea stall also in the local area, you better be the best in it. You know, whatever you do the best in it. So as of now, I'm an actor, but maybe down the lane, 10 years later, I may do something totally unrelated to acting, you know, like something totally there. And I think we all are multidimensional people. So we shouldn't take a career and only do that all our life. We should, it's like a flowing river. You reach different destinations, you move on, and you move on. You have a lot of things, you know, they come your way. Today, like I said, if tomorrow I take up clinical psychology, and I think that that's really more interesting than the profession that I'm currently doing, you may maybe 5 years down the lane talk to a clinical psychologist. after that, you never know. I may just give it up all and put effort in raising 2 kids, or else someday I even think that I want to become a teacher. There are a lot of dreams and aspirations. I want to adopt a village someday. I want to be able to run a village, like not politically, but with the force of people. Yeah, like economically as much as possible, and for the welfare of the place. Like, if I'm an influencer and if I can influence people to put in whatever they have, like whatever materialistic things or whatever way they can help, if I can bring in the sources to run a village successfully, probably I would like to do that someday. Someday I would like to be a pet shop owner. Like, I don't know. Like, there are a lot of things that are in my head. No, I don't have a pet. My mom's given me this condition. Either the pet stays or I stay.
The same condition in all cases.
Yeah, like, I don't know why my mom's being the villain out here. But then I showed her Marley and Me recently, one of my favorite movies. And she's like, oh yeah, the dog's really nice. I think we can have a pet. She came to this condition. I'm like, should I get one? She's like, no, I just said I think. I have not come to I want.
Words matter. Okay, slowly you can convince her and things might change.
Eventually, probably.
Yeah, exactly. So you've been talking about influencing people, and you've told about adopting a village and contributing something that is really something that is really needed, because being in that state of being an influencer, people are noticing you, and when you do such things, it will seriously inspire people to do. So, what would you want? Like, many people are watching you, and you know your actions are going to influence people. So, what are a few things that you actually, like, you yourself wish that people get inspired, or you want them to think this way? What is it?
I want people to think, do what is right. Like, it is not because I say, or you say, or anybody. For whoever, whatever is justified, whatever is legally, like whatever country you are, whichever land you are in, wherever space you are in, the rule of the land, follow the rule of the land, do what is required for the land, for the people around you. You know, be a bit primitive, go back to those times when it wasn't all about individuality, but it was about community living. I think that's the whole thing about humans. The whole reason we know to talk, converse and develop, I think they should be used for the best process of it. And the privileged should help the underprivileged is what I believe. Like, that's how it all grows, you know. If the guy who knew to make fire, rubbing stones, said that I'm not going to pass my art on, I'm going to be the only person who's going to do it. Everybody pay me to do this. That becomes monopoly. So I don't want that to happen. I want people to actually share their skills. If they have learned something in life that is helping them to make more money than the other person, they should probably tell them, you know, you should just take this part, or, you know, do something, whatever it is. It's not necessarily, like, if there are people who are in need of, you know, it's not all about, you know, love things and love all this nonsense. They should get out of it and start embracing humanity is what I mean.
Being socially responsible to everybody.
Yes, yes. Like if we hear people, like the entire mission of Clean India, cleaning, like we are, as of for now, we are concentrating, everybody is going to the beaches, cleaning the beaches and all that. So, like instead of concentrating only on cleaning, and only on what the previous generation did, I think we should take a responsibility of teaching the current generation that you should not throw at the very fact.
Yeah.
You know, at a grassroots level, to teach them that doing that is wrong. You know, you should not only teach them to clean, you should teach them not to make the dirt so that you don't have to clean.
You mean so, prevention is better than cure?
Yes. See, I have known people who do the cleaning and then themselves, after they are done with the cleaning, they go out for a cigarette and they throw the cigarette butt down. You know, that's the same thing that's going back, you know.
Yeah.
You must have cleaned. You think you've done good karma out there, but then again you're doing the same thing, you know.
Utilizing.
So, it's not only about doing that, it's about doing this too. So, there's multiple things that I believe in. Basically, I want people to be more responsible. If there's something that I'm not saying that everybody has to go out, donate, do everything like that, but not be bad, like in whatever sense it is, just embrace humanity, be good, like, you know, just be nice. You don't have to have a crore of money and donate it, and then you need to, or you don't need to, like, you know, I'm not telling you need to give up all on materialistic things.
Yeah.
But just not be greed and just not kill each other in this process. So that's what I try to influence people as much as possible with that.
Yeah, that is actually, because I've seen many people and most of them don't have the understanding of what's right. Because when you tell a person, okay, don't throw these things on the streets, they'll be like, just because I am doing it doesn't mean the whole world is going to change.
So, and they think that one person can't make a difference. That's a really wrong thing. Like, no, if I, what only if I do, it will happen, or what? Uh-huh. What only I'm responsible. Yes, you are responsible. You are that one person who may start, you know, you may be the reason for that chain, you know, the entire chain reaction. Like now one person sitting at home during Corona is going to stop the chain reaction. One person who is going to do a nice thing, he's going to cause a chain reaction. So, and it shouldn't stop. Like, if at least I have been blessed to be in a family where if I see my dad doing it and I have the opportunity to correct him, many of us don't. Many of us don't have that freedom. But I think we should be able to communicate. We should be able to have the decency of saying what's right.
Yeah.
We shouldn't. People who are right shouldn't be scared. You know, in this world we are living in, people who are wrong are much more confident and courageous.
And if confidence
is acting right, people who are right, they're timid and they are scared to voice their opinion because they are scared of being wrong. I'm like, that's not the
way. That's not happening. True.
Yeah.
So, like throughout listening to you, I mean, from your career, how it began and how you think of taking it further, you've had a lot of interests and you want to pursue many things. So in that case, there are also people who are like, they're fixed. Okay, this is what I want to do. And this is the destiny I'm going to reach. They have all these plans made. They, when we ask them, say that is my passion. So I am very curious about this word called passion, because I've been asking everybody, what is passion to you? How do you define it? What is your perception about it?
For me, passion and profession are on the same thing. Like, I think it is very wrong that we differentiate that, you know, your passion has to be different, your profession has to be different. That's why we have engineers who are sitting on the engineering table, but they are not interested to be an engineer. They go and they sing in a evening, they go to a concert and they sing better.
Yeah.
You know, they are a better artist. So this whole diversion between passion and profession shouldn't be happening, first of all. So for me, I'm not like, I took up my passion. I realized acting, like performing basically. It's not only about acting, it's even Bharatanatyam per se, or you know, talking basically. Or I did dubbing for a few years for a cartoon channel.
Oh.
So anything, basically performing, basically being artistic.
Okay,
you know,
yeah.
Like nothing to do with science or commerce or
analytical
anything
stuff.
Yeah, yeah, it's more like whatever skills I have. I was always keen about it. I was passionate about it. And I made it my profession. So that's what I did it. And again, like, it's thanks to the family behind that has let me not differentiate between it. Like, you do what you like and do it the best.
Yeah.
So that was what was inculcated in me since being a kid. So I think there shouldn't be that differentiation, you know. You should do what you love. It may not earn you. Like, again, there are people who are family conditions, they are forced to do that.
Exactly.
But then there is always, I believe, a way where you can make your passion your profession.
Somewhere
at least it may take a little bit longer.
Yeah.
No, it can take longer than what your normal, you know, 4 years you study, fifth year you'll get a job. This may take 6 years and the seventh year you may get a job. Okay. You know, but then I think that little bit struggle is fine. And if you are scared of struggling your family with it, you see to that you put them in a position where they do well for themselves. You know, get them into things, you know, or processes where they can feed themselves or fund themselves, and you go ahead to struggle or whatever. So I don't understand the differentiation between passion and profession. To be honest,
I have had this doubt since a long time. Like, even at college, when some guest lectures come, the first question will be, "What is passion to you?" Because it differs from person to person, right?
There are still people who I know who have a different passion, different profession, but if I tell them to leave their profession for their passion, they wouldn't. Then how does that remain your passion? When you're not ready to leave your things for it, how can you call it your passion?
Passion, yeah.
So passion is something, that driving force, that no matter what happens, you're not going to leave it. Like, if the earth splits apart also, you will stick to it. So I always ask them, if your building is going to collapse and the first thing you're going to run, they're like, yeah, I'm going to take my guitar and run. So then why don't you live with your guitar? Why do you want to study those engineering books? I'm like, that's not going to survive.
So there are many hustlers out there. I mean, they have this thing for their passion. They're crazy about something. But given the situations that they are in, they're forced to be in a profession. But still, there are people who still hustle for it. They do the side hustle and slowly they're coming up, and some or the other day they want to reach it. So for such budding people, so what would your advice be? What would your tips be?
Just go for it. Keep going for it. Like, your progress is different for person to person. Your progress may not be like somebody else you know or somebody you want to be, but your progress is your progress totally. Like, if 4 people knew you yesterday, today 40 people knew you, that's your progress, you know. It needn't be 4,000 people need to know me for progress. So the mere fact that you're doing it, you're a go-getter, is enough motivation that you're on the right track, you know. You're doing what you love, and it, one thing that you can't pay a price for is time. Once this time goes off, you're not going to ever know, you know, how it is. So I'm very proud of these people who are going ahead and doing what they want to do, doing, like, you know, giving it their best, you know. I don't believe in having a plan B in life. When you have a plan B, then plan A is possible. You know, you know it's going to shake. That's why you have a plan B. So I'm like, we don't want a plan B. We want a plan A, and you're going to, like, focus on it. 10 years, 20 years. Yeah, it's, I mean, I have immense respect for people who do that. You know, like, when I see, if anybody comes to me, if it's an artist, or if it's a musician, or if it's an editor, whoever it is, like, even if they DM me on any kind of social media, and they tell me that I'm a budding artist, can you please support? I'm like, yeah, sure, dude. Like, come on. That's not even a question. I'm an artist. You're an artist. We are different artists.
That's really sweet of doing that.
All I can do, if my sharing is going to help you in any way, I don't know. Like, then they ask, I didn't even charge for it. I'm like, no, you can put a price on your art. I don't think that's possible. So, and I know that they are not in that position where they want to pay and all that. But come on.
You need to be
there. As of
for
now, what I can do is just have a word of it. And that's it.
Yeah.
Hello?
Hello, can you hear me?
Am I audible?
Yeah, yeah, you're audible. Am I?
Yeah.
Yes.
So, I think it's, I have immense respect, like, for people who are go-getters. I'm like, I love your courage, man. I seriously.
That is really sweet, because not many people respect the hustle. They only respect the outcome of that hustle, right? So that hustle is what is to be.
Outcome doesn't matter. Like, you know, like everybody's level of outcome is going to be different.
Different, yeah.
You know, you don't necessarily need to be known in the entire country for it. Even if your lane people know you, you're successful, man. Like, you know, if just your neighbor knows who you are in today's generation, it's a big deal. Nowadays, we don't even know who our neighbors are. So just the mere fact that if one person Googles you in 1 month, it's enough. You know, like that's it. You're doing absolutely, like, even this entire podcast of yours where it says reach her, and where you have initiatives and where you have people talking for, you know, talking about their success stories or their struggles or whatever. It's a good initiative. Like, how else are we supposed to talk? We can communicate, you know.
And inspire people and motivate them to go.
Even if one person is going to get affected by it in a positive way, why not?
Yeah.
You know? So I really, like, when I heard about, like, when I read your description only, for her, by her, I was like, this is damn good. I like this. I like, this is something new. I want to be a part of this. Like, I don't know how keen they are about me, but yes, I am keen
too. Of course, we are so keen about you. That's why we are reaching out to people. Like,
no, the excitement, it's not, it's a two-way excitement. It's not just like you want me. I want to be there too. Like, yeah. I want to see what this, I'm curious.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for your support and the way you are.
It's always going to be there.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for sharing your words, and especially the way you look at things, the society, how responsible you feel about the society. It's really great. I hope the viewers are really inspired by your words. Okay. So, to the viewers, thank you so much for sharing your time with us and being here, listening to this amazing talk. Stay tuned for the next episode. And till then, this is Madhumati signing off from Reach Her Podcast. Thank you.
Reach Skyline. Embrace digital.